Morning, everybody. The reading is taken from John chapter 8, verses 27 down to 47. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Even as he spoke, many believed him. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it'd be really useful if you had that passage open, if you've got your phones, if you follow on your phones, then please have it open on your phones. If you've got your Bibles as well, that would be fantastic. So we're starting a new series, as we mentioned this morning. The series is looking at freedom. What is it to be free? In particular, what is it to be free in Jesus Christ as Christians? Philosophers define freedom in a lot of different ways. I think there's two at least important parts to freedom. The first is a rational ability of the mind to convert what is our desires, what we want, into something we can articulate. So it says, yeah, this is what I want. But of course there's more to freedom than that, isn't there? Because I might say, do you know what? What I want is to go for a weekend trip next weekend to Mars. Well, of course, am I free to do that? Clearly I'm not. I might want to do that. I might be able to tell you I want to do that, but I haven't got the free will to do that. You see, freedom is a matter of the whole of our being, isn't it? It's a matter of our hearts, our desires, our minds that can work out what we want, but also the will to be able to make that happen. Well, the privileged young lady ended up in prison in 2003. She said this, "I was incarcerated, put in prison for selling ecstasy, a brief stint into drug dealing that ended in boredom. I was given 2 years' time in prison camp in Texas, worlds away from my colourful, privileged childhood, my real or imagined freedom. In the most literal way possible, I had my freedom taken away. My rights, as I think of them, mothering my young son, moving about as I please, phone, internet, privacy, and good food were all unavailable. In their place were uniformity and arbitrary interpretations of bureaucracy by government employees. My name was replaced with a number. I took on the burden of a stigma that will follow me for life. In prison, I had a bump up against my own frailty, despair, and regret. Well, none of us here this morning, I'm pretty sure none of us listening online are actually at this moment in time incarcerated, locked up in a prison. But actually, are you as free as you think you are? Do you have dreams that haunt you with a picture of escape from the current tedium of life? Well, they disappear like a puff of vapor, because the only way to bring them to life is to live them vicariously for a couple of hours in the latest film. Do you find yourself longing to be kinder, to be less angry, to be more generous? But there's just something holding you back, particularly, as you know, with certain people. Do fears hold you back, stop you from becoming the person that you want to be? Does guilt, shame, stigma force you to hide who you really are, to not be able to open up to other people in case they feel that you're unlovable? Do your limitations affect you like walls of a prison? Do they lock you in a life of boredom, purposelessness and pain? Your mundane job, your mental health battles, your dysfunctional relationships, your old age, an infirmity. When the text this morning, we're going to focus on verses 31 to 38, Jesus shows that he understands this human predicament, and his response is to offer freedom, true freedom. But let's have a look at what happened when he offered true freedom. So firstly this morning, sin holds you captive. Looking particularly at verses 33 and 34. So Jesus is speaking here to some Jews. They're actually Jews that are quite favorably disposed to him. We read that actually some of them were starting to follow him, or start that journey of going to follow him. In verse 31, Jesus offers them freedom. He says, I've come to bring you freedom and I'm offering it to you. And what's their reaction? Well, they're offended, aren't they? They're deeply offended. Maybe it's like you'd feel if a passerby mistook you in the streets of Penarth for a tramp, offered you £5 and said, please go and get yourself a hot meal. It offends any sense of pride and self-sufficiency that we may have. And Jesus' diagnosis of this response in verse 34, he says, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Put another way, if you sin at all, then it shows that you're trapped in sin and will keep on sinning. Well, what is sin? There are lots of ways that sin shows itself, aren't there? Lots of ways the Bible tells us that sin shows itself. But what actually is the essence of sin? Well, we find that in Genesis chapter 3, right at the start of the Bible. God's created a great world. He's given Adam and Eve free will to choose. He's given them a beautiful world and lots of good things to live in. But God has spoken and he said, do not eat of the tree of good, the knowledge of good and evil, for it will be bad for you. But the serpent, the devil, has also spoken and said, no, you need to do that. God's withholding good things from you. Adam and Eve used their free choice to choose to silence God and to listen to the words of the serpent, the devil. Cast your eyes on to verse 37 and we find actually what's going on here is pretty much the same thing. Jesus says to them, you're looking to kill me. Why? Because you have no room for my word. In verse 38, you're doing what you heard from your father. Who is he saying is their father? Verse 44. You belong to your father, the devil. You listen. You choose to listen to the devil. You don't choose to listen to me. You see, these people want to silence Jesus permanently. So trapped are they in their desire to not listen to God and his word, that they even plot to kill Jesus and silence him forever. And so whatever else they claim, like they claim they're Abraham's children, this reveals who they really are. They are trapped in this sin of trying to silence God. Before we jump too quickly to judgment, we seek to silence Jesus too, rather than embrace his offer of freedom. Maybe in more subtle, maybe in more partial ways than they were doing there. We adopt the liberal thinking of our age. God hasn't really said what the Bible says. No, the Bible's full of errors. It's full of things from our oppressive ancestors who didn't understand. So actually what we need is each person needs to be able to pick and choose themselves from what the Bible says, particularly when it comes to those bits that they just find really difficult and uncomfortable. We also seek to silence Jesus when we seek to self-justify. We silence the gospel by denying that we have a need for Jesus. Ever found yourself in this kind of mindset? I'm religious. I come to church every week. I go to midweek Bible studies. I attend prayer meetings. I read my Bible. I don't need to listen to Jesus anymore. He's done his work in me. I don't need that anymore. I'm religious. Maybe drop into thinking of, do you know what? I'm morally upright. I might not be perfect, but I'm pretty good. I find it easy to apply God's laws, at least those laws that I quite like and suit me. So there's other things that God says, like, you know, not judging others and that sort of thing. They're not quite so important. I keep the most important laws. Or maybe you find yourself thinking, I'm upkeeping the traditions of the church, the history of what we've done for years. I must be right. So I'm right to resist change, even if hearing God's unchanging word in a new context reveals he's calling on us to do something different. You see, Jesus offers freedom, but even our natural tendency is to reject that freedom, maybe in these more subtle ways. Maybe you're here this morning, maybe you're listening online, and you've been listening for quite a while, but you've just felt, oh, there's something stopping me from responding to these calls of Jesus, these offers of Jesus that I'm receiving. Jesus says, I've come to set you free. He set you free this morning to respond. If that's you, do come and speak to me afterwards. Come and speak to someone that you know is a Christian. Jesus has come to set you free. And Christian, are you really accepting the freedom that Jesus offers you? Or are you falling back into the trap of rejecting that freedom, thinking that you're not any more in need of that? Jesus says sin holds you captive. But actually, listening to Jesus as Lord isn't always the easiest thing to do. Are there easier ways? Are there ways other than going through Jesus and what he commands to be set truly free? Our second heading this morning is only the Son can set you free. Only the Son can set you free, verses 35 and 36. Jesus says a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. See, Jesus is very clearly saying there, only he can give us a freedom that lasts. Because only he is that son. Only he is the perfect son who is permanently entitled to be a member of God's family. A slave can't offer freedom. Only the son who is a member and already belongs. You see, we as human beings so easily settle for freedom that is just temporary. We seek freedom in human people. We seek freedom in human ideologies. But these are the ideologies of slavery. They can never permanently set us free. And so we cling to these things and we settle for a freedom that is basically like a puff of smoke. That quick escapist thrill that we get by doing something we know isn't really in God's word. But it's then followed by the downer, isn't it, as we face the post-event consequences, even if they take a few years to arrive. We settle for that glow of pride that comes from self-justification as I dwell on the fact that I've done a great good deed and ignored the things that I should have done that I haven't. Yeah, that gives us a thrill for a short while, but it's not long, is it, before some annoying person points them out to us, or even that sin grows and eventually it becomes so big it becomes undeniable. But if we're going to follow this Jesus, is he really the real deal? Is he really the son that can set us free? If you cast back to verse 25, which you didn't quite read at the start, but it started this little section where they're basically saying to Jesus, who are you? Or if I put the tone a bit more like it likely was, who are you? Jesus responds in stunning fashion, making some absolutely amazing claims. In verse 26, he says, I am the one who brings a direct message from God, your creator. In verse 29, he says, I'm the one who God is with because I always do what pleases God. In verse 38, he says, I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence. In verse 40, he says, I'm the one who's told you the truth that I have heard from God. In verse 46, can any of you prove me guilty of sin? It's proof. I'm from God. And actually, by the end of this section, in verses 58 to 59, they're picking up the stones to kill him. Why? Because he's clearly said, not only do I come from God, but I am the Son of God. How can we be convinced? How could they be convinced? Have a look at verse 28. He says to them, in response to this question about who are you, he says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know who I am. He's looking forward at their time to the time of the cross. We look back. We've seen it already. Jesus was lifted up on the cross there, not in triumph, but to die in our place. A real event for the whole of humanity to witness, to show that he was paying a price. He was paying the redemption price, the price that was needed to buy back a slave from captivity into freedom. A price so high that it couldn't be paid in money. It could only be paid in his lifeblood. Not only that, 3 days later, he rose from the dead. We're told over 500 witnesses saw him. Again, a real event for all humanity to see, to show that there is a new life. There is a resurrection life. A resurrection life to freedom. Freedom from ignoring God and silencing God and listening to him and living the life that God created us to live. Have you accepted that Jesus did this for you this morning? Have you accepted that this is the freedom that he has bought for you at such a price? What a valuable thing the freedom we have in Christ is. Jesus is the real deal, the Son, who can set us free, not just for a few moments, but for all eternity. But what does Jesus say? If he set us free, what does he say we need to live in the freedom that he's given us? Well, we're going to look at that a lot more in the coming weeks, couple of months, as we go through this series on freedom in Christ. But from today's passage particularly, point three, freedom is being at home in the gospel. Freedom is being at home in the gospel. Back to our key verses, 31 and 32. Jesus says, "Everyone who holds to my teaching is my follower." What does he mean by that, holding to my teaching? If you hold to my teaching. Well, John actually uses that word elsewhere in his gospel, so we have a fair idea what John means. And he uses that word as a being at home. If you read John 15, that famous passage about abiding and being at home with Jesus, it's that same word. What Jesus is saying is we need to be at home in and with his words. We're to long for his words as we long for home. We're to go and be immersed in his teaching as often as we're immersed in home. In short, it's where we belong. We belong in Jesus' teaching. He says, if you hold to his words, then the truth, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What is the truth? Well, clearly from the verse before, that truth is linked to Jesus' teaching. It is Jesus' teaching. It's what we would call, in shorthand, the gospel, the good news that Jesus brings. If you're at home with Jesus' words, if you're living with them, you're in them, you're holding to them, you will know what truth really is. The good news of the gospel, and the good news of the gospel, and living by that, will set you free. The thing is, though, being at home in the gospel, it's quite hard work, isn't it? Devoting yourself to reading, to being in Jesus' word regularly. Even the discipline of a quiet time every morning, I find quite a struggle at times. It's hard. It's not easy. And indeed, it may not seem like freedom, especially when we try and put that teaching and that word and what we hear into practice. It is hard to hold to the gospel, isn't it? When we see others seeming to thrive for a time in the freedom of ignoring what God says and getting on with other things that just seem pleasurable for a moment. It seems like holding to God's teaching is a bit like being told you have to go down to the gym every morning at 6 o'clock. Not only that, you have to pay for the privilege by giving up your fund for beer, chips and curry. Doesn't seem like freedom, does it? But then once you've done it for a while, the weight starts to drop off. Your mental health starts to improve. Energy levels start to rise. And you delight in the freedom that it's bringing. And of course, you long for more. It's hard as well, because we have a tendency to drift back into these ways of self-justification, the fulfilling feeling that comes of convincing yourself when things go wrong, I'm the victim here. But actually, when you realize that there is more joy than comes from that feeling of satisfaction by going to the gospel and repenting and knowing God's love for you and how much he loves you and knowing forgiveness, not only that, the restoring power that you get through repentance and faith, then you long for more. It's hard as well because the difficulties that we face, the struggles, the challenges still remain, the very limitations that we endure are still there. But the gospel sets us free to be who we were each individually made to be. The Westminster Catechism puts it well, the chief end of men and women is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. The chief end of men and women is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. This is what we were made for. And the gospel frees us to see that we can do that, whatever circumstances we're in, whatever limitations that we are facing. It even shows us that sometimes those limitations enable us to do that even more. But it's not just a case, holding to Jesus' teaching isn't just a case of overcoming the difficulties and the hardship. It's also freedom to see that many of those things that our heart desires, that we obsess our lives with and are trapped in trying to get for ourselves, are now ours by the grace of Jesus and the gift that he's given us. You see, sin says that you're a slave to proving. You're just not another worthless bum on the street. Jesus says, you're so valuable. I chose to die for you. Sin says, you're a slave to seeking some place where you belong. Jesus says, I've got a permanent place for you with me. No one can take that away in God's kingdom because of the price I've paid. Sin says, you're a slave to seek a name for yourself in this world. Jesus says, I've already given you a name. You belong to me. You are my treasured possession. Sin says you're a slave to live a life full of guilt and shame. Jesus says grace has already forgiven you and grace is restoring you. Sin says you're a slave to finding some real purpose in your life that satisfies. Jesus says, I've freed you for the greatest purpose of all, to show the world the glory of the God who has created you and who has redeemed you. And of course, freedom isn't something we experience in its entirety now, is it? We start to experience this freedom as we hold to the gospel and live by these truths. But a day will come when we experience that in its fullness. A great day when we will all stand before God and in those words made famous by Martin Luther King will cry out, free at last, free at last. Thank Almighty God, I'm free at last to worship and glorify you with my entire being, which is the most desirable and satisfying thing in the whole wide world. Jesus has come to set us free. Let's embrace that freedom by holding to his teaching, by living by the gospel truths. If you want to do a little bit more of that, I really recommend this little book here called Digging Deeper. Digging Deeper, it says, into the truth of God's word. Do you want to know more about the depth of the truth that's contained in God's word? Yeah, might take a little bit of work, a little bit of reading, a little bit of going through some stuff, but we can do it. If you want to do that, I can give you the details of this book to get hold of. If there's enough people who want to do it, we can even set up a little group to encourage one another to do that more. But let's hold to Jesus' teaching and through that enjoy and rejoice in the freedom that God wants us to live in. Just wanted to share these words spoken actually to Israel as they're about to enter exile, the promise of the freedom and the hope that was to come from God. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Let's embrace the freedom that we have in Christ this week. Amen.